This hour of the Jason Rant Show brought to you by PRMISeattle.com, primary residential mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
Why'd you do that?
I don't have one that says messages and slogans on masks.
What does this have to do with coronavirus?
It's about masks.
No, it's not really about masks.
No, but it's about masks.
No, you could have done in the workplace.
I don't have one that says
you could
in
have
the
done
workplace.
Whole Foods.
I don't have one that says Whole Foods.
You could have done Amazon or Amazonia.
I do have Amazon.
I know.
What's trending in Amazonia?
I mean, it's a little difficult for people to connect because not everyone realizes that Amazon owns Whole Foods.
I didn't realize that till just now either.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I would have maybe done You Can't Make This Up. You could have done Business.
We don't have Business.
You could have done Foodie Edition.
I do have Foodie Edition.
Just saying.
Whole Food. Okay. That's a stretch, though. You just said, why'd you do Foodie Edition?
Whose show is this?
And then you'd say,
just shut up.
You'd say,
just do it.
Food is always on your mind, isn't it? And then you would berate me for always talking about
what's trending. Foodie Edition.
God, you're just nonstop with the food. It just never gives up. So, the Democrat-led NLRB, this is the National Labor Relations Board. They claim that employees over at Whole Foods are allowed to wear BLM attire at work, whether it's on their masks or elsewhere, because we did that story. I think it was out of Everett. It was definitely Snohomish County, where they're wearing buttons at a Kroger store, some other grocery store. And the NLRB comes out and says, oh, no, you have to allow it. Regardless of your dress code as a company, you have to allow it. Which, of course, they said that. Of course, they said that. The activists on the NLRB, Democrats, of course they would say that. But Whole Foods is like, yeah, no, we're not going to sit and take this. We're pushing back. We're calling you out. We've had a longstanding policy on our attire, on our dress code. We ban all slogans. That's not what we want to be about. That's not what we want to have in our stores. We're not going to sit and take this. Now, all of this stems from an incident in 2020. And Whole Foods apparently punished some workers. They don't say what the punishment was. They just said they punished workers who basically defied their managers and decided to wear masks with BLM messaging on it. It might have just said BLM or Black Lives Matter. And because they were punished, the NLRB came out and said, oh, you just violated U.S. labor law. But Whole Foods said, no, 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 no. You actually violated the law. NLRB General Counsel Jennifer Abruzzo, you're violating our constitutional rights because under the First Amendment, you can't try to compel employer speech. You don't get to do that. A spokesperson told Fox Business, our dress code policy does not single out any one message or slogan. It's designed to create a workplace and shopping experience focused entirely on excellent service and high quality food, although the service has taken a hit. The spokesperson then added, we do not believe we should compromise that experience by introducing any messages on uniforms, regardless of the content, that shift the focus away from our mission. Now, of course, they're right. It would compromise the experience, and it certainly would turn people off. Now, I'll call out Whole Foods for a little bit, because I do find them to be a little bit hypocritical here. They have one right by the Amazon building that has this big sign outside about how they're an anti-racist organization. Now, in fairness to Whole Foods, I think that's the only one locally that has that sign. I wouldn't be surprised if others did, but they have that sign mostly because they don't want to get targeted by Antifa thugs who keep breaking their front door and window and all that, which happened for the longest time last year and the year before. So I think that was more of a literal virtue signal. That was very knowing, like, hey, leave us alone. We're on your side. But generally speaking, pushing that aside, they're 100% right that it would compromise the experience. Now, maybe putting BLM on a mask in Seattle wouldn't compromise any experience. With few exceptions, people probably walk in like, yeah, I support BLM too. That's why I shop at Whole Foods. But understand that the implications here is, what if an employee wears a pro-life message on his or her mask? Abolish abortion. Would the NLRB side with them? Would the liberal progressive activists who are okay with BLM on a mask, would they be okay with it? Would they say, hey, fair is fair. You let us have our BLM. You get to be all pro-life if you'd like. Of course not. Of course not. And we know that. We know that. And that's why Whole Foods pushes back, because they know it. People will say putting out BLM messaging is not political. Yes, it is. It's a political organization. How do we know that? Because they take very specific positions on policy. They ask politicians to take on certain policies. So, of course, it is political. And so that would open the door. And Whole Foods doesn't want to deal with it. And frankly, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't need to know the guy's political belief as he's bagging my groceries. All I need to know is that he makes less money than me. And it makes me feel good for him to put my food in a bag, even though I could do that very easily myself at the self-checkout stand. That's all we need to know. The guy who is screwing up the salmon that I picked out? No, not that one. Not the weird-shaped one that's kind of off-putting. The one behind it that is perfect. That's the one I pointed to, idiot. I don't need to know that he's a BLM supporter. I already kind of assume everyone who works there is a BLM supporter, and 37% of them are stoned at the time. That's what I already go in expecting. You don't need to put it out on, I hate this, that people need to do it. And the same thing, I don't like bumper stickers for the same reason, including bumper stickers that take positions I support. I don't need to know your political positions or that your kid is an honor student at Kamiak High School. I don't care. I've seen the academics there. They're, you know, anyone can be an honor student at Kamiak. I'm kidding.
No. I'm not kidding.
But I mean, do you honestly care? They do this because we're somehow supposed to either identify with that person or judge them poorly. Not judge them because they are bad at their job or a bad person or whatever. We're supposed to judge them based on their political beliefs. Everything is an identity now. Everything is an identity. And a political belief is also an identity. But why do you need to know that the worker there supports BLM? Why is that important? Do they have to know what you believe? Should all the customers walk in and maybe have to declare whether or not they support BLM or whatever movement? Or can we just go about our days and say, you know what? Not everything has to be immediately divisive. And when you bring politics into it, it can be immediately divisive. Immediately divisive. And we know that because they would never allow, they would never cheer for, they would never go out of their way and support some employee donning a pro-life mask. And we all know it. They know it. The NLRB knows it. You and I know it. So let's just drop all of this garbage, all of the virtue signaling. I just don't care what your position is. Just get me the right salmon. And when I do oysters, don't give me the ones that clearly aren't going to open up once I put them in the pot. Or the ones that are already open up, because if they're already open, that means they're stale and I don't want them. They're not fresh at that point.
Do you verbalize this to the people behind the little glass over there?
No, I give them the look.
Well, maybe you should verbalize this and then they
know. No, they know what I'm saying with my eyes.
Do you throw oysters at them once they hand them to you? Take one out of the bag and...
I'm kidding. Like, I make eye contact with these people. They're just stoned BLM supporters.
Yeah, you said 37% are stoned. I think you're a little low.
It depends on which one you're at, I think. Granted, some of them will be as high as 97%.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking of the shift.
Oh, that makes sense.
That yeah. will skew
factors,
it a little
that
bit.
That factors yeah. in.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So I'm going off of our schedule to talk about a press release I just got via email. And I don't intend to spend the entire segment on this, although I feel like when I say that, I end up spending the entire segment on it, usually because I add these kinds of caveats that end up becoming kind of a bit, and they continue to go, and then you end up jumping in at some point and say, something encouraging me to continue with this. Because,
no, yeah, go on. It's your show. I mean, you can do what you want.
It just goes on and on and on forever. But I have to talk about this. This is the title. And shame on me for having my email open during the show, I guess.
What do you mean? I mean, I think that's protocol, like in case breaking news comes through.
But it's distracting.
Okay.
The subject line is, the great state of Washington proclaims Saturday, January 22nd to be local quilt shop day.
What?
Did the state of Washington make that decision that January 22nd is the great local quilt shop day? And are there local quilt shops?
I'm Googling it.
Is there a quilt shop, a shop that, oh, and don't say, oh, well, I found Bed Bath & Beyond. That's not what this is. This says Local Quilt Shop Day. It's an annual arts celebration focusing on the rich tradition and history of quilting in our communities.
I have found one on Google so far called Quilting Mayhem.
Is it possible that what they're really saying is you shop for quilts locally today or on January 22nd? In recognition of the importance of independent quilt shops, no, never mind. In recognition of the importance of independent quilt shops to local economies, Saturday, January 22nd is proclaimed to be Local Quilt Shop Day throughout Washington. Find out who's responsible for this. Did someone create like legislation that is this an official thing? Local Quilt Shop Day is an annual art celebration focusing on the rich tradition and history of quilting in our communities. This internationally celebrated holiday emphasizes the importance of local quilt shops and their significant contributions and economic impact on local communities. Let me tell you something. They've had no local impact on the local economy. None. Like, not. It's. I'm not even saying they've had a negligible impact on the local economy. They've had none.
You don't think that our fabric stash that actually closes soon at 5 p.m. has had a massive impact on the
community?
Do
they sell quilts or materials to make quilts?
Materials to make quilts.
That is not a quilt shop.
That's right. They're listed as a yarn store. Okay.
A yarn store is not a quilt shop. Dum-dum.
I found there's like three then. If you were only going by quilt shops only.
Name one.
What was the one? Seattle Modern Quilting and Sewing Studio.
That's a studio?
It's listed as a quilt shop.
Okay. Where's that?
39th Ave.
So it's in Seattle, though.
In Seattle.
That's Capitol Hill, I think. Give me another one.
Dragonfly Quilting. Oh, wait. That's Bellevue.
That's fine. It's Washington State.
Oh, okay. Dragonfly Quilting. 5 stars after 3 reviews.
Because the three people who are like, I desperately need a quilt shop. This is the only one I could find.
American-made brand is listed as a quilt
shop.
That's
not a quilt shop. That's also not local.
Well, it's on Marginal.
I found one. It doesn't matter. That's a national brand.
Oh, okay.
There's one called the Fabric Shop Network in Vancouver. Think about a network. Oh, my God. It was just, and they established it. It's a trade association that represents over 5,000 local quilt shop owners globally. 5,000 globally. I have more people within maybe a half a mile radius that follow me on Twitter.
I found one in Redmond.
They went throughout the entire globe, and they only found 5,000. And I guarantee you, some of those 5,000, they're not all owners.
So do you want a Jason Rantz Twitter follower day?
Yeah. To participate is easy. The Fabric Shop Network encourages the public to visit their local quilt shops in person or online on Saturday. Check with your local quilt shop for hours and days open as they may be impacted by local and state health guidelines.
They may be closed due to the pandemic, but go and visit.
They don't even link to a list of local quilt shops.
No, we're doing more awareness for this cause than they are in their press release.
And who goes, let's say there were tons of quilt shops. The people who shop there don't check email unless it ends with at AOL.com.
Well, I'm sure that they get quilty coupons.
And, well, the text better be very large as well. Let's be clear.
I found the Quilter's Cottage in Poulsbo. You want to go to Poulsbo this weekend?
No. I don't want to go to Poulsbo.
It's a fantastic Viking village.
Yeah, I don't drive. What am I going to do? Walk there?
Take a ferry.
Take a bike to the ferry, then get on the ferry and like a dork.
APQS Northwest in Issaquah.
Okay, we don't need to continue this. But I mean, I am... We have given them... We've given them more airtime, I guarantee you, than anyone in the media, with maybe the exception of some King 5 piece looking at equity concerns around quilts. Are quilts a representation of the community, or has it been taken over by white supremacy? Next on Woke 5 News.
Quilting is deeply rooted in white supremacy.
White supremacy. It must be dismantled. One yarn string at a time.
Abolish quilting.
Oh my gosh. Defund local fabric shops. We demand that we defund by at least 50% local quilt shops. While we understand your concern, we're only allowed and really able, because of the rules governing this, to cut only 20%. We demand 50. These quilt shop owners are terrorizing the neighborhoods that they operate in. Even during the height of summer, they're walking around trying to put quilts on people. It's too hot. It's too hot. This quilt, who made this quilt? Who made this quilt? And by the way, did you know that the quilts were first created by communities of color, only to be taken over by elderly white ladies with 40 cats? And that is what we call, what do we call it? Come on. What do we call it when white people take over the cultures of people of color?
Cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation. It started with this ball of yarn, and it has become an oppressive movement. An oppressive movement that we are here to destroy.
Well, the quilts literally oppress people to keep them warm, right?
They are heavy. I mean, if you're doing it right. Local quilt shop day. Shut up. How did I get on this list? How did I land on this list?
Because deep in your heart, you are actually a big quilting fan. You are a fanatic.
There's two lists now I don't understand. This one and CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I have no idea how I got put on that list. But on Saturday, understand that it is the local quilt shop day. Did I just spend the entire segment on? I said, yeah. I wasn't going to do...
No, you did say that you weren't going to do that.
Well, it's your fault because you got into the oppressive thing. Or I think I might have brought it up, but you egged it on.
Look, you're the show host. This show goes in whatever direction you want it to in the end.
Local quilt shop day. Let's book this person. I want to talk...
Who? Whoever sent out the press
release? Yes, I want to talk to whoever owns the Fabric Shop Network.
Well,
Bigfoot
Quilts down in Auburn is open till 5. So if you're in the Auburn area, go ahead and swing by.
Is that a real thing?
Bigfoot Quilts. Yeah, I just found it. I'm from Auburn. I had no clue that Bigfoot Quilts was a thing.
What's the difference between a quilt and a blanket? That's going to be my first question. What's the difference between a comforter and a quilt? Oh, my God. Okay,
the
I just
love
forwarded
that you
the,
put into it.
Just yeah, okay. If that happens, I'm hanging up. I'm getting very aggressive and angry very quickly, and then ultimately I'm going to hang up on this person. What if it's like some big burly dude who's the owner of it? Because in my head, it's just an old woman.
You actually forwarded it.
I'm serious. I want this person on the show this week. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me pictures of your favorite quilts. Oh, my God. Don't do that.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services at alpineclean.com. This is a part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Moses Lake because they have a port that some people didn't realize existed. And I'll be honest, I didn't know existed until someone had tweeted at me, Brandon, on Twitter. He tagged me in a post that was made by the commissioners. And it had this weird video announcement, and it kind of came completely out of nowhere. This is what it said. Approved by the port commissioners and effective immediately. The ability to comment on any and all of our social media posts are now blocked. That's it. No explanation. No reasoning. No backstory to tell us what the impetus of this was. They just said you can no longer respond to anything that we post. This applies, I found out, to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. I didn't click on the LinkedIn one. I don't imagine there's anything useful on that page. So I started to look into this because I was like, that's so weird. Why would you do that? Are you guys getting harassed? Why is someone harassing the port of Moses Lake and you're now deciding just to get rid of all of it? So bizarre. And I found yesterday's agenda for a meeting that they had. They had a January 10th meeting, and on it, it said, authorize the executive director to reaffirm the decision to support our public records responsibility by eliminating the option for the public to comment in any form on any and all social media sites. So that gave you a little bit more information, right? There's some hint. It has something to do with their public records responsibility. What does that mean? When we say public disclosure request, a PDR, that is something that was created by a government official that is subject to disclosure, meaning it's our property, we own it, and with very limited, very narrow exceptions, they have to send out whatever it is you request if they created it and they have ownership of it. But that still didn't, like, what does that have to do with a public records issue? What responsible? What, huh? So I emailed and I did not get a response. So then I called. And I sent them all into a panic. This poor woman, Loretta.
Oh, you answered. Went after a Loretta?
They told me to call Loretta when I called just their regular number. They said, what is this regarding? I told them. They go, you're going to want to speak to Loretta. So boy, did I speak to Loretta, who was very suspicious of everything I said, including my name, where I work, my phone number. Like, I'll need a phone number so I can call you back. So I gave her my cell so I would actually answer it. And she goes, can you give me the station phone number? I go, like, to the front desk? She goes, yes. Why would you need that? I just gave you my cell. What station did you say you were with again? To which I wanted to say, hey, lady, have you not seen me on Fox News? Let's, you know, give it a rest. At one point, so I was asking her questions about what was going on, and I wrote this down because it shocked me when she said it, because she was giving me some backstory on this, and I'll get into that in a moment. But of course, I'm inquisitive, and none of her positions made any sense to me. So I asked her maybe the third follow-up of the conversation, quote, that's enough of the questions.
She told me
to shut up.
Wow.
She goes, that's enough of the questions.
I'm going to use that one in our next meeting.
So this is what she basically told me. She said comments become public record when you leave them on the social media sites. I go, I know that, yes. That's it.
That's the only explanation she
gave? That was the explanation. I said, well, are people, at first she said people might think that because someone leaves a comment that might be nasty or mean-spirited or something, that because we didn't delete it, we might condone the message. And I thought, okay, maybe that's fair. Has that been happening a lot? She goes, no. So has it happened at all? No. So it hasn't happened? No.
So somebody just woke up one morning and they said, you know what? We're going to ban comments.
But then it went to, well, our lawyer told us that we should do this proactively to save us the money of having to collect the PDR associated with someone asking. I don't know if anyone's asking for it. In fact, I asked them. I said, is this an issue? They no. So this is just purely proactive. It came out of nowhere. You just decided to do it.
Did you ask why they were talking to their lawyer?
I asked if they ran this by their lawyer. Now, then she tells me, I took extensive notes. I said, well, this meeting yesterday, was it filmed? Because she said that the lawyer presented yesterday and gave their legal reasoning. And then to me, I was like, I'm kind of curious about this. I'd want to know more about this silly policy that is, in the grand scheme of things, completely meaningless in a city that I will never visit, probably ever in my lifetime.
They have a good golf course.
I'm not dissing. It's very far away from me. I'm not planning on going to Moses Lake ever. So she goes, no, we don't have video. I said, oh, but we do have audio. I was like, oh, cool. Can I have it? She wouldn't give it to me.
What do you mean?
She wouldn't give it to me. That's when she started to ask for my information. She go, oh, I'll check to see whether or not we can send it. To which I said, you have to send it. Ironically, I could put in a public disclosure request and you have to send it. So, unbeknownst to me, as I'm doing this, I get an email. Now, I hang up with Loretta after giving her 12 different numbers and my social security number so she could check out who I am. I gave her your social security
number. I was going to say, is that why you asked for that today? I thought that was a work thing.
So, I get an email from the guy at the port that I originally emailed. His name is Don or Dan. Don. And the response was, and this is never a good response. It always tells me that they want to lie to me, but not in writing. Give me a call. And he gave me his number. Couldn't answer my questions in an email. Because he's suspicious, I guess. So I called him. He gave me the same thing. The same thing. We decided it would be easier to preserve the public record because all the comments on social media are considered public record. Again, that makes no sense because it's the same exact amount of work. If I put in a PDR request, say for your Facebook post from January 1st, they have to go in and take a screenshot of it and send it to me. That's it. Taking away the comments still means they'd have to do exactly the same thing. It does not make any sense whatsoever. And then he confirmed, yes, we were being proactive, or at least proactive on the advice of our lawyer, said, other ports have taken the same exact position on their social media. I go, oh, really? Which ones? I don't know. He didn't know. You had this meeting yesterday. And part of me was like, you know, the reason why this could be a big deal is people might want to actually reach out to you. And I went on their website. I'm like, you've got port commissioners, all of whom are elected. I can't find any email address to directly send anything to. And so I say, are there email addresses anywhere? He goes, I don't know. You're the guy who's the executive of the port of Moses Lake. Well, then people can call us. They can show up to our offices.
Is it possible that just email still hasn't made its way to Moses Lake yet?
Apparently. Maybe that's another public disclosure issue.
But they have Facebook, just no email.
It's super weird. So then I said to him, and I didn't tell him at that point, I had just gotten off the phone with Loretta. I go, I know you guys had a meeting yesterday. Could you send me the audio of it? And he said, I can't send you the audio until we approve of the minutes of yesterday's meeting. And that's not going to be until January 24th. To which that kind of triggered me. And I got a little tude in response. I go, this is almost where I'll give you the tone. Turn down the music so you can fully experience this for a moment. I go, no, you don't. And I'm certain of this, that you have to send this to me because it is subject to public disclosure request, regardless as to whether or not you actually approve the minutes. And then I started to, you put it back. And then I started to notice that my tone was getting very, very angry and direct. And I could feel his energy start to shift because he's not used to dealing with someone like me, not at Moses Lake. Moses Lake media probably doesn't even exist. He did say at the start, you saw the article in the local paper? I go, no, I haven't. I have not, sir. So he goes, let me check and see if what you say is true. I go, it's true. Believe me. I know what I'm doing here. And I'm going to put in the public disclosure request right now just to be safe. But we both know that this is subject to disclosure.
You're not going to play Don like a fiddle, okay? He will
his bases. He's not going to be taken advantage of by this big city journalist trying to throw rules at me. And so we end up hanging up. He calls me 5 minutes later. You are correct that I do have to send it. Yeah, I know. I know, Don. And I still haven't received it, by the way.
You tell him that you've done this once or twice before?
I did say that. I go, look, I live in this world. I know what it, I am a nerd who does this all the time. I know what's subject to public disclosure requests. So stop this nonsense now.
Then did you say, by the way, send me all of your text messages from your cell phone?
I came this close, and I swear to God, I came this close to saying, if you don't send me what you want, I'm going to bury you in PDRs. And then, by the way, I'm going to ask everyone who's listening to submit public disclosure requests. Because it's within the public good to know what it is you're hiding, sir. And by the way, I imagine that if I looked at his emails or Loretta's, they are all, and I mean literally all, either recipes they found online from the Food Network or links to quilts that you can purchase used on Craigslist.
Quilts from Craigslist? Is that your local quilt shops?
I am convinced and almost now want to put in a PDR for just some random day's worth of emails to get all of it. What? Did we just spend an entire segment talking about quilts and then an entire segment talking about the port of Moses Lake?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I sure have learned a lot about the quilting community thanks to our text line and our friends via email who indicated that they actually, her name is Debbie and Bob. Debbie and Bob, it's a couple, I'm assuming. I mean, I'm not judging. I don't know.
I mean, maybe their name is Debbie and Bob.
Yeah, they could literally just be two friends who are into quilting.
I was thinking it was just one person.
Well, that's stupid.
Debbie and Bob.
I don't know why you would think that.
That was my first go-to.
Well, that's a bad joke.
It wasn't even a joke. I'm serious.
I mean, I was really setting myself up to say that they could be lovers.
Okay, sure.
They could be married and they're, you know, also, not only do they make quilts, they make love.
It could be platonic.
I have no idea.
Business partners.
But they own Carriage County Quilts in Des Moines.
That's another one to go visit this Saturday.
So apparently there are a lot of quilt shops. By the way, that must be that trade association folks that you work for in the quilting industry, they are not doing a good job.
No.
Because I should know that there are quilt shops all over the place.
But you don't.
I don't. I had no clue. Maybe because I'm not in that demographic. Because I'm not a 73-year-old woman with 40 cats. Or, alternatively, a 43-year-old woman with 43 cats. Let's take that. Joe Biden was out there today, and did he have an embarrassing moment. So he's out there pretending that the Democrats are fighting for voting rights. It's funny, because when Donald Trump says that the election was fraudulent, everyone says, that's wrong. But then when Biden and Democrats say, the election is fraudulent and we have to create more laws to make sure that it doesn't stay fraudulent, that apparently is okay. That's thumbs up. So Joe Biden was going into Georgia to give a speech today. He went in a little bit earlier, I think around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, to give this speech in support of H.R. 1. And guess who didn't show up? Stacey Abrams, the governor of Georgia. I say that because she never conceded. And she, again, somewhat ironically, says the election was stolen from her. And she has never actually conceded. And the media loves her. She's the media darling.
I mean, she was probably busy with governor stuff.
Apparently she was busy. Their excuse earlier today came out. We got our schedules mixed up. I'm busy today. I'm looking for local quilt shops. I don't have the time to show up. And this was a snub. This was a total snub. She didn't want to show up because, number one, Joe Biden's popularity is in the toilet, especially in Georgia. I think his support in Georgia is like at 20%, 20 points. That's bad. And number two, what he's doing here is purely political. It's not going to forward the legislation. It's not going to change any minds. They don't have the support in the Senate nor in the House, which means Democrats are saying no to this. All you have to do is listen to the co-founder of a group based in Georgia called Black Votes Matter. I see what they did. It's like Black Lives, but they change lives to vote. I was told you're not supposed to change any of the words in Black Lives Matter or you get canceled. But I guess it's in the spirit of the same movement. His name is Cliff Albright. He was on CNN. Why aren't you supporting the president's speech?
We would have loved if the president used the presidency as a bully pulpit for the past 7-8 months And while we've been fighting for voting rights, even getting arrested outside of the White House, begging him to do so. But at this point, we don't need another speech. We don't need him to come to Georgia and use us as a prop. What we need is work.
Hey, Cliff, black people to a lot of progressives are props. And Latinos, or excuse me, Latinx or Latinx or Asians who look like Latinx people. Props to the Democratic Party.
That's what I am.
It's true. Republicans choose not to tokenize people of color by not calling them people of color. Whatever that even means. This, of course, was completely political. It was hugely embarrassing for Joe Biden, who said this.
I spoke with Stacey this morning. We have a great relationship. Uh-huh. We got our scheduling mixed up. I've talked with her at length this morning. We're all on the same page.
Oh, uh-huh.
And everything's fine.
Same page. Not same schedule, but you're on the same page. When the president comes to town and invites you on stage, doesn't matter if you have a haircut appointment. Well, that's a bad example. I would choose the barbershop. But it doesn't matter if you got a massage at that time. You're going to get coffee with a friend. You drop that and you show up. This, of course, was intentional. Oh, I called her this morning. Our relationship is great. I have great relationships with people who I don't have to go on air and say, I talked to so-and-so. We're great friends. Although I am good friends with Ben Shapiro, I might be filling in for him tomorrow.